Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times bestselling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Hello and welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. I'm so glad you're with me here today on this Wednesday. We are 2 days into a series by Derek Prince on waiting for God. And yesterday we were listening to Derek teach us about how if we'll wait on the Lord, we will exchange our own limited resources and strength for the Lord's. Today, Derek's going to talk about something very, very important. You may have, if you're in church circles and Christian circles, you may have heard people talk about making Ishmaels. It means doing something that creates a big mess that was outside of God's will and then having to live with the results for years. We've all made our Ishmaels. But Derek's going to tell us about how if we wait upon the Lord, that we will not make Ishmaels, that we will actually be able to walk in a much higher, much more productive mode. This is such an important teaching, particularly for our generation, particularly for us as headstrong Westerners. So let's listen now as Derek Prince teaches us about waiting for God.
In my previous talks, I've pointed out 4 benefits of waiting for God. First, waiting for God develops stability. We saw how in the case of the psalmist, first of all, he said, "I shall not be greatly shaken." Then he said, "I shall not be shaken at all." So we see a transition to complete stability out of waiting for God. Second, waiting for God is a necessary part of the process by which we are made mature and complete. James tells us that this process requires perseverance. And perseverance means holding on. Both when we're busy and when we've got nothing to do, we still have to hold on. That's the hardest test. Third, waiting for God produces serenity. It's the answer to fretting, anger, and wrath. And fourth, waiting for God results in a supernatural transformation. Isaiah tells us that those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength, but literally will exchange their strength. In place of their own natural strength, they'll receive God's supernatural strength. So waiting on God is the way to receive God's infinite resources. In my talk today, I'm going to illustrate this principle of waiting for God from the life of Abraham. First of all, we need to see that Abraham is both our spiritual father and our pattern. Consequently, his experiences are particularly important for us as believers. This is stated by Paul in Romans chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Where he says, "He," that is Abraham, "received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. So then he is the father of all who believe but have not been circumcised, in order that righteousness might be credited to them. And he is also the father of the circumcised, who not only are circumcised, but who also walk in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised." We see then 2 important points. First, Abraham is father of all believers. Second, we need to walk in the footsteps of Abraham's faith. His life is a kind of pattern for us. How does this apply then to waiting for God? It applies very specifically in the life of Abraham. In fact, I would have to say that was one of his greatest tests. Possibly his greatest. You see, the fulfillment of God's purpose in Abraham's life centered around the birth of his promised heir. He was told he was going to have an heir and that through this heir, God would bring forth a nation through which all other nations would be blessed and that his descendants would be multiplied as the stars of heaven and as the sand on the seashore. And everything in his life ultimately depended on the fulfillment of the promise of an heir. But for this, he had to wait for God. Now, as we study Abraham's life, we see 2 aspects to the example that he gives us. One is negative, the other is positive. Abraham didn't always do the right thing. In this respect, He failed. He made a serious mistake. He was not prepared to wait for God. Let's look at the time frame of Abraham's life. It's interesting. Abraham was 75 years old when he left Haran on his journey to the Promised Land. After 10 years, he got tired of waiting for the promised heir, and so he did something to help God, if I can put it that way. He did it in his own cleverness and in his own strength. Apparently, Sarah couldn't have a child, so with Sarah's full consent, in fact, at her suggestion, he took as a concubine Sarah's maid, Hagar, and he had a child by her who was called Ishmael. Now, Abraham was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael. Before Ishmael was born, the angel of God foretold what his character would be. This is stated in Genesis 16, verses 11 and 12. The angel of the Lord also said to her, that is to Hagar, "You are now with child, and you will have a son. You shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard of your misery." Ishmael means God has heard. Verse 12 describes the kind of son. "He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand against him, and he will live in hostility toward all his brothers." It's important to see what the product of our own impatience and carnal impulses is. The result is a wild donkey. That's very clear language about this son. He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, everyone's hand against him. He will live in hostility toward all his brothers. See, that's a very vivid picture of what comes of not waiting for God, of just going ahead in our own carnal impulse and doing what seems right in our eyes, accepting somebody's helpful suggestion, trying to help God. The result is not that we solve our problem, but that we aggravate our problem by doing that.
You know, this might be a great time for those of us listening to Derek teach so powerfully to make a list of the Ishmaels that we've made and hold them before the Lord and repent. Make a commitment. "Lord, I don't want to live in the land of Ishmael. I want to live in the land of your blessing. I want to live in the land, in the promised land that you've ordained for my life." Listen, there's so much more to come, including a special visitor who's going to be with me here towards the end of our program today as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
In the newly released book, Entering the Presence of God, Derek Prince reveals how genuine worship can bring you into a close, intimate encounter with God. Through its pages, you'll discover why God desires you to be in His presence and better understand the tangible blessings that flow from it. Now Derek's newest book, Entering the Presence of God, is available for only $12.95. To order, simply call toll-free 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 1-888-737-0771. Derek Prince was uniquely equipped to bring you truths and insights to help you properly and effectively enter God's holy presence, to explore deeper dimensions in worship, and to find intimacy, strength, and peace. Take a moment to order a copy of Entering the Presence of God for you or someone you care about. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order securely when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, hoping you've been with us all this week as Derek Prince has been teaching us about waiting for God. And we just heard Derek teach about such an important topic, about Ishmael, about making our Ishmaels through disobedience to God, through not waiting on Him, not hearing His voice. And I'm sure you've made the connection that Ishmael is the father of the Arab peoples, as we see it in Scripture. And you have to wonder now what's been released in our world as a result of Abraham's disobedience. Well, let's hear Derek teach more on this very important subject.
Now, Abraham was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael. Before Ishmael was born, the angel of God foretold what his character would be. This is stated in Genesis 16, verses 11 and 12. The angel of the Lord also said to her, that is to Hagar, you are now with child, and you will have a son. You shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard of your misery. Ishmael means God has heard. Verse 12 describes the kind of son. He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand against him, and he will live in hostility toward all his brothers. It's important to see what the product of our own impatience and carnal impulses is. The result is a wild donkey. That's very clear language about this son. He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, everyone's hand against him. He will live in hostility toward all his brothers. See, that's a very vivid picture of what comes of not waiting for God, of just going ahead in our own carnal impulse and doing what seems right in our eyes, accepting somebody's helpful suggestion, trying to help God. The result is not that we solve our problem, but that we aggravate our problem by doing that. The descendant of Hagar, Ishmael, is essentially the father of the Arab nations of the Middle East. And the problem that started then has continued for 4,000 years and is more acute now than it was then, because it's the descendants of Ishmael who are the unrelenting, totally opposed enemies of the state of Israel and of the descendants of the promised seed, Isaac and Jacob. So if ever history has a lesson, the lesson is it pays to wait for God. It's dangerous to lose your patience and go ahead, act on your own initiative, yield to your carnal impulses and other people's helpful suggestions, and try to help God out and solve your problem your way. Because instead of solving your problem, you're going to aggravate it. Now we'll turn to the positive aspect of Abraham's example for us. For the next 13 years after Ishmael was born, Abraham had no further recorded revelation from God. He was 13 years out of harmony with God. How had he got out of harmony with God? By going ahead in his own impulse, by not waiting for God. You see, waiting for God is essential to being in harmony with God. However, 13 years later, and that must have seemed a long 13 years to Abraham, when he was 99 years old, God gave him the seed promised, Isaac, born of Sarah. Isaac was actually born when Abraham was 100 years old. So Abraham had to wait 25 years for the fulfillment of the promise upon which everything that mattered in his life depended. Can you identify with Abraham? Consider what it means to have to wait 25 years. See your own body grow old. See Sarah, your wife, grow old. Realize that in the natural, all hope is totally gone. But now notice what I emphasized yesterday. The supernatural transformation that comes out of waiting. For this, we'll turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 11 and 12, which describes the outcome. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father, because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand of the seashore. What was that the product of? That supernatural miracle that transformed the physical condition of both Abraham and Sarah, made it possible for them to have a child of their own. What was that the outcome of? It was the outcome of waiting for God. You see, that's an endorsement of what Isaiah says in chapter 40. Those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength, and more literally will exchange strength. In place of their own worn-out bodies, their own limited natural ability, they will receive this divine, supernatural strength and enabling. Let me make a final comment on this. God's supernatural purposes require what I call a gestation period. They are not instantly fulfilled. God's promises are like seeds. Dropped into the earth, they take time to bring forth the promised result. Now, during that period of gestation, we are waiting for God. So you see, waiting for God is a necessary and logical requirement for receiving the endowment of God's supernatural ability and power that alone can produce the result that we need.
Thank God there's a higher way to live than in making Ishmaels and having to live in the land of my own mistakes. Thank God there's a way to hear the voice of God, wait upon the Lord, and live in a higher, more productive mode. Now listen, coming up in just a few moments, Scott Ross, whom you may know from the 700 Club, is going to be coming to us from Virginia Beach, Virginia, there at the CBN Studios. You won't want to miss it as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
In the newly released book, Entering the Presence of God, Derek Prince reveals how genuine worship can bring you into a close, intimate encounter with God. Through its pages, you'll discover why God desires you to be in His presence and better understand the tangible blessings that flow from it. Now Derek's newest book, Entering the Presence of God, is available for only $12.95. To order, simply call toll-free 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 1-888-737-0771. Derek Prince was uniquely equipped to bring you truths and insights to help you properly and effectively enter God's holy presence, to explore deeper dimensions in worship, and to find intimacy, strength, and peace. Take a moment to order a copy of Entering the Presence of God for you or someone you care about. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order securely when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince, Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Joining me in the studio today is Dick Leggett, president of Derek Prince Ministries. Dick, always great to have you here.
It's great to be with you again, Stephen. Thanks.
And also joining us from the CBN studios in Virginia Beach, Virginia, is Scott Ross, longtime friend of Derek Prince Ministries and personal friend to Derek. You probably know him best from the 700 Club. He's a producer, correspondent. He tells me he pretty much runs the place. I'm not sure that's completely true. But anyway, Scott, great to have you with us today, buddy.
If I were running it, I would be rich and I wouldn't be here. Thank you.
Well, it's good to have you here anyway. Listen, set us up here a little bit. Tell us how you first came into contact with Derek.
You know, my wife Nedra and I were talking moments ago just so I could properly remember that. I can't remember. It was circa 1970 that I met Derek, and I'm trying to remember where. But then I'm trying to remember what I did yesterday afternoon, too. So it was somewhere around that period of time.
And you had a very tight connection now, both at the Love Inn, but then also with the whole Fort Lauderdale event. Can you kind of describe that for our listeners?
Yeah, well, Love Inn was in outside Ithaca, New York, in a town called Freeville. And then we tied in later in subsequent years in about 73, 74 with Derek and some other men in Fort Lauderdale that Derek was working with. And then subsequent to that, I moved to Fort Lauderdale in the late 70s and co-pastored with Derek and some other men in Fort Lauderdale. So, yeah, we have a lot of history.
What was it that first impacted you about Derek as a young man when you first began to hear his teaching and at that in that earlier generation of the work of the Holy Spirit, what we now call the charismatic movement? What was it that was unique and that impacted you?
He was a Bible teacher slash scholar slash prophet. I always considered him to be a prophetic teacher. Some people may not accept that terminology, but I believe there's still prophetic voices around, and Derek was that. He wasn't at all demonstrative in what he said, but the results of what he said were often demonstrative in his meetings. And he was a line-on-line teacher, and he would say things just so matter-of-factly. For instance, someone here is being healed of blindness. And all of a sudden, you know, the blind man would see, well, the place would go berserk, and Derek would just stand there and says, well, that's what God's word said, therefore it has to happen. And he just approached things that way. And I was always impressed with his ability to articulate truth in the fashion that he did. And, of course, I was from Scotland, so there was ways that I could identify with the side of him that was the Brit.
Scott, we're getting a little bit older than when we first knew one another, and one of the things I'm seeing is the impact of what Derek's impartation has been in my life, and the foundation that's been laid by him. How are you seeing it affecting you now? I mean, this is years after you first met him. What impact is it having on you right now?
Well, it's fruit that remains. The fact is that the things that he taught back then, now we're talking, you're right, we're talking, it's hard to believe this, but you're talking, you know, 30 years, 40 years, 70, 80, 90, we're getting up there.
That's right. Yeah, we are.
And, but the fact is that what he taught, the signs follow, the fruit remains. And the impact of the things that he taught are still very much a part of my life. His vision, and to use the Christianese term, the burden that he carried for Israel, for instance,
right?
That is still very much part and parcel of the message today, and it will become even more so. I remember being with him in Jerusalem, and at that time, he didn't say this publicly, but he was saying, this was about 74, 75. And he said to me, he said, Scott, I believe that Islam in the future will prove to be one of the most potent forces in the world that the Christian church will have to deal with. And I said, well, in what way? And he said, because it's religious and political, and the church isn't ready to deal with it. Do you realize that the Muslims pray 5 times a day, and that the majority of Christians want to be out of church by noon to go eat chicken? And so it was that kind, and he would say these things, and you would, you know, look at him, of course, but that was back then, and now look at it. So, and there's words that he had that still are reverberating today, and they're proven to be true.
Yeah, there's a real timeless quality to much of what he shared, which that's what I'm finding more and more the older I get. And
yeah,
we are getting older, Scott. You know that.
I wouldn't admit it, but you go ahead.
Okay, I did.
Well, if I can break in as a much, much, much younger man.
I'm glad this ain't TV. Go ahead.
Uh-huh. Well, listen, we want to talk to you some more throughout this week about Derek and about some of the teachings that have impacted your life, and specifically this theme of waiting for God. Guys, all our time is up. I wish this could go on for hours, because I love hearing, Scott, you talk about stories and experiences and emphases of Derek's life and heart in a way that makes it fresh for us. So thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Stephen. Appreciate it, Dick.
You know, it's so great having Scott Ross with us, and he's going to be with us again on Friday for more recollections of Derek Prince and more challenges to the contemporary church. Listen, if you've missed any of Derek's marvelous teaching this week on waiting for God, you can log on to our website at derekprince.org. You'll find not only this series, but other wonderful series and all sorts of information about what's going on with Derek Prince Ministries. You want to be involved. And by the way, if you just have a desire to support what Derek Prince Ministries is doing, if you have a desire to just empower this station with your financial giving, you'll find out how to do that at www.derekprince.org. Well, listen, that's all the time we have for today. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again tomorrow as the legacy continues.
To order your own copy of Derek's newly released book, Entering the Presence of God, for only $12.95, give us a call toll free. 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Take a moment now to jot down that toll-free number, 800-448-3261, 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And of course, you can order your copy of Derek's new book, Entering the Presence of God, securely online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org. That's derekprince.org.